You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Remember the Game. My name is Adam Blank, and this is my retro gaming podcast. Every week, a friend of mine will come over, and the two of us will sit down like kids on a playground in the 90s and just talk about a video game we love from yesterday. There's no homework. There's no research. I don't bring up a lot of stats. If you're new to the show, welcome. Please don't expect the most scientific, in-depth podcast of all time. We're just nerds talking video games. This week, we remember the game Super Mario Bros. 3 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. This is has to be considered one of the greatest video games of all time, doesn't it? I mean, it's Super Mario Bros. 3. Everybody knows this game. That yellow background. Super Mario Bros. 3. I'm going to try a couple of new things this week. I'm not going to try to talk about the game as much during the intro. I'm going to save that for the conversation with my guest. But I do have a couple of things I need to plug. We are on Twitter. If you are on that whole tweeting thing and you don't follow us, please throw us a follow. It's at Member the Game, just like Remember the Game, but without R-E at the beginning. At Member the Game. We follow everybody back. We also have a Facebook page now. If you're one of those Facebook geeks, you can find us there. Facebook.com/Member the Game. Same thing. You can also follow me on Instagram. It's at AdamBlank17. Adam, B-L-A-N-K, 1-7. That's where I post about this podcast there. Maybe I'll start its own Instagram, but I'm not yet. I want to try something else new and just kind of quickly talk about the games I'm playing this week before I get into the remembering. For those of you that don't know, I recently became a single console gamer. There was a point where I had an Xbox One, a PS4, my 3DS, my Vita, my Switch, and I just found it was too much to keep up with, and it was actually taken away from the enjoyment, you know, of the hobby to have such a huge backlog to worry about. So I sold everything except my Switch. I kept that one because I do a lot of work on the road. I'm not home very much, and it's the perfect compatible little system. So I love it. I love the Switch. So if you're not a Nintendo Switch gamer, this segment may not do much for you, but it's not going to be a long segment. So see how it goes. Anyway, for the last 7 days, I've been primarily playing Into the Breach. It's an indie game. I guess it originally came out on PC. Now it's on the Switch. It's a it's one of those strategy games. I don't know what, is it called real-time strategy, I guess? I don't know. It's like a board game, kind of like Fire Emblem, Mario Rabbids, XCOM type game. And it's roguelike as well, so each game is different, and it is fucking awesome. It's dirt cheap. It's like $15 if you've got a Switch and you enjoy those types of games at all. Highly recommended. Shout out to my buddy Chris for the recommendation. And then I'm also hop back on the Mario Kart 8 bandwagon. That game is like one of my favorite games probably of all time. I love that video game, and I'll never get tired of it. And play as Bowser. If you don't play as Bowser, you're wrong. So that's primarily what I've been playing this week. I don't know if I'll keep mentioning that, but just try new things. You know, I got a lot of ideas for this podcast. I had kicked around the idea of going to 2 episodes a week. I think I'm going to keep it at 1 for now. We are growing, and I'm really happy with that. There's only so many video games, and I'm afraid if I do 2 a week, I'll start burning through them too fast. You know, I'm also considering getting into more recent. And when I say recent, I'm thinking like GameCube, Xbox, PS2, maybe even the PS3. Xbox 360 Wii eras, but I'm not sure yet. I got tons of retro ones on the go right now. I got a ton of episodes saved up for you guys. I won't be missing any more weeks. I know I did miss a week a little while ago. That's not going to happen again. And I've tried a couple of different things. You're going to see them coming up in the next few weeks or so, a couple of different ideas, just talking video games in general. So thank all of you guys, seriously, for listening. And I mean that. And I know I say it at the top, and I say it at the end, and I say it all the time. But really, I do. I would be doing this podcast even if I had like 3 listeners because it's so much fun for me. But I really am starting to see a little bit of traction with my numbers. And I really want to try to grow this thing. So sincerely, thank you so much if you like the show. And if you do, please tell someone. Tell a friend. Everyone has friends they grew up with playing old video games. Let's just all nerd out together. So this is a safe space for us nerds. We can all be geeks together, okay? With that said, you guys, I am gonna cue the music and get to my chat with my I should have actually said it right off the hop, and I don't think I did. My guest this week is a returning guest. He's my good buddy Miklos Blackshaw, a comedian from here in Edmonton. And sit back, relax, and trip on the nostalgia as Miklos and I take you down memory lane to a little stop called Super Mario Brothers 3. Thanks, guys. Here we go. So this one, I don't know how long this one's going to go. I've only ever done one other NES game. And honestly, after about 15 or 20 minutes, you kind of run out of shit to talk about because they're not the deepest games in the world.
Oh man, this actual game had a ton of shit in it though.
That's true.
It was one of probably the biggest Nintendo games for a while.
Oh, it's, well, okay. So as you will have known from the intro, we are talking Super Mario Brothers 3. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's, like, it has to be the ace of the Nintendo library. To me, the only possible game you put ahead of it is Legend of Zelda.
Oh, even then, man.
And that's only if you're like a diehard. I'm like, it's like Super Mario Brothers 3 was gaming perfection.
Everybody fucking had this game.
Everybody has this game.
You go to someone's house, you played it. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew it, like all these little tricks.
Dude, it was like, it's like the music, because you guys will have heard the music. Like, yeah. You and I didn't listen to it, but I always put the music at the beginning of the game. That song, like that opening theme to Super Mario Brothers 3 and like that overworld map is, yeah, like it for World 1 is,
well,
like,
well, that, the curtain coming up.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's the theme of most people's childhoods, like from our days. Because who, like, you didn't even have to have a Nintendo and you fucking played Super Mario Brothers 3, right? Man. There was a movie. Did you ever see The Wizard?
No.
Oh, it's so stupid. It stars what's the name of the kid from The Wonder Years?
Oh.
Fred Savage?
Yeah, Fred Savage.
And it's like this, this kid's addicted to, or he's like obsessed with Nintendo. And then at the end of the movie, it's all about the launch of Super Mario Brothers 3. And it was like, they put it out just to promote Super Mario Brothers 3. And there was toys at McDonald's. They had their own cartoon show.
Oh, I remember cartoon show.
Yeah?
I remember the cartoon.
Like, man.
I watched that. They paired that with the Legend of Zelda cartoon on Saturdays.
Well, no, okay, because, well, yeah, but there was a Super Mario Brothers Super Show that paired with Zelda, but then they did, like, a Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon where they introduced, like, the Koopa Kids, and it was still the same voice for, like, Bowser and stuff, but, like, they're so bad. I bought them on DVD years ago and tried watching them, and I ended up giving them my nephew. I was like, this kind of sucks.
I thought about it back in the days of HMV, but...
Yeah, yeah, but it's, I don't know, it's one of the... See, I don't think those cartoons have stood the test of time quite like the video games
No, not at all. I have it on my Wii. I played every once in a while.
Super Mario Brothers 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's on everything, right? Oh, like, man. I'm thinking about how many copies I've bought of that game. Because I had it on the Nintendo. I had it on Super Mario Brothers All-Stars for the Super Nintendo. I bought it on about every virtual console it's ever been available on. Now Switch has its Nintendo Online service. Yeah. And it has, like, it launched with 20 NES games. And the diamond of the punch was Super Mario Brothers. Like, that's what everybody wanted was Super Mario Brothers 3. And it never gets old.
No.
It really doesn't. Like,
that was the first game that really incorporated the always run feature.
Oh, yeah.
Holding down B. Mm-hmm.
It drives me. I don't think my girlfriend listens to this one, but this podcast. I kind of hope she doesn't now. it drives me fucking bananas when I play Mario with someone and they don't run.
It's the worst.
I'm like, you won't make these jumps. It's designed to run.
You're always running. Always. My ex used to do that too. When we got it for the Wii, she had a job at BioWare as a game tester.
Okay.
And we would play Super Mario Brothers 3 just for fun. And everything went, I would beat a level, and she would die, and I would beat that level. And I was like, why aren't you running all the time? All of the time. This game is impossible if you're not running.
It's designed to play like that. Yeah. I don't even think it would work that way. You'd miss so many jumps and things.
Especially once you get, like, the Leaf or the Raccoon suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you can start flying everywhere, well, geez.
Yeah. So it's, I'll tell you, because the original Super Mario Bros., is, you know, another one that everyone's like, I would like to do one of these episodes on that game at some point. Less to break down the game and more of just of like I don't care what anyone says, that game is the godfather of video games. Like, that one's the one that restarted the engine and got everyone playing video games. And then Super Mario Bros. 2, like, not the Doki Doki Panic throwing vegetable style game, but the Lost Levels version of Super Mario Bros. 2 is almost identical to the original Super Mario Bros. And its graphics and all that stuff. They just, you know, tweaked it and tried to make it better. And it's really remarkable the leap they made going into Super Mario Bros. 3. Like, it's night. Like, you would, if you just saw those two games, you'd never guess they were on the same console. Like, they look night and day.
Oh, man.
Like, the graphics, like you said, right off the hop. And I always love that.
Choosing the levels, too. Like,
the map? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was mind-blowing.
The mini games?
That stupid card game.
Oh, yeah.
Would always pop up. And then, if you played two-player, I don't mean me and my brother would play two-player. If that card game popped up, it was like a rule, like, take turns or, like, let me play at this time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we'd fight over that.
We, now that it's out, we go online and just finally we'll hit, like, one square. We'll see, because they have, like, all of the things online, the pictures, so you can go, and we just cheat as much as we can.
Oh, yeah.
Clear them.
Because you stack it up, right? Yeah. And then you end up with so many items
that
you never use.
Like, mushroom house where you had to, like, time it so it landed to make the picture.
To get the lives?
Yeah.
I always sucked at that. I never got good at that.
Yeah.
Never got good at it.
I remember being a kid doing it all the time, but now I do it. I'm like, man, how did I do this?
Maybe it's like being old and the reflexes slow down, but you're just like, bullshit, I hit it at the right time. Go to hell.
What are you talking about?
Now, like, but that said, like, it's a fucking sick game. Like, there is a lot to talk about. You're right. The lives don't particularly matter.
No, you can continue and continue.
You can continue. And really, like, it's not the hardest game in the world.
Yeah, they're not pumping in quarters.
No.
That was a big thing. I think that games like that kind of killed arcade games.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like the Turtles arcade game, Simpsons, X-Men, all those old beat-em-ups and stuff were designed to kill you.
Yeah.
So you'd pump more tokens in and spend more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mario's not, like, I mean, I personally, to this day, find the original Super Mario Bros. Harder than Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Super Mario Bros., I can get to World 8 pretty much in my sleep, but I need some luck sometimes to get through. Like, World 8 can be tough, man. Yeah. Fucking Hammer Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers 3, man. Like, I tried to do just a couple of years ago to go and beat every level. Because it's easy just to get the flutes. You can get the two of them in the first world. And then if you want, get the third one.
Yeah.
At the end of that one. Second world, and it was it was easy once you get going.
Well, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, warp into level 8.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's one of the things about Super Mario Brothers 3 is like, and I was thinking about this today as you and I were prepping for this podcast, like world 1 to world 4, I know like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Like the regular world, desert, water, giant world is the supreme. Like everyone, that first time you go to giant world is awesome every time, right? Yeah. It's the coolest thing.
It's so much fun.
But 5, 6, 7, I...
5's the one with the, where you gotta like climb the tower.
And then you play a second half of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what always fucked up me and my friends when we played that is someone would have to continue always in that world.
Mm.
And then you'd have to do that level again where you had to like go up
climb the tower.
Climb the tower.
Yeah. Which I thought was really cool. Like, yeah. And honestly, as a kid, I didn't really even clue in that's exactly what you were doing. And now, yeah, like you look, it didn't take me that long. And then you look at it and you're like, oh yeah. So the end of this first half, cause you'd start the first half of world 5 and you're like, where the fuck's the castle? Like what the fuck? Like, what is this? And then you realize you have to climb this tower and go up to this clouds and then play the second half of the world up in the clouds. And the cool thing is you could see the original world down below.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, you know what that is? That's one of the first examples of that Nintendo polish and that Nintendo charm they put in their games. You know what I mean? Those little extra things that they just, they care so much. And it's so obvious, you know?
Yeah, having to replay all those levels over and over and over because you missed that. Like, it was kind of neat that they did that. You continue all your levels that your character beat, flip back over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, like, because you, depending on how you wanted to play, you could, you know, say, I beat all these worlds, I'm better than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then there was that, even that, like, old school, because it was in something else. I'm trying to remember what it was, but you could, like, go on somebody's level that they beat and then, like, challenge them to that game where all the, like, things come in.
Well, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, man. My brother and I used to beat the shit out of each other at that. Because if you don't know, when you play two-player, you could... Yeah, I can't remember if it was you had to go to a level someone beat or go to their space or something.
You could challenge them.
And then what you could do is actually battle for the cards
that
you got at the end of the level. You could steal each other's cards.
Which was kind
of
neat, too, because you could be like, hey, man, I've got a flower and you've got a star. And like, we each have one of them, and we could just be like, "Hey, man, you want to trade?
Yeah,
like, you need more lives. I'll give you my star.
You could work together if you wanted to, or you could completely fuck each other over."
I'm still.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time, every day. I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad, the ugly. I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
In all your lives.
And you know what I didn't realize until years later when I played it? That was based on the original Mario Bros.
Yeah.
Like the original Mario Brothers game, which I had no idea. I never played that as a kid. And I was like, that's just another little thing Nintendo does where they're like, even back then they knew like this catalog they have of games. You know what I mean?
I thought you having the ability to get like a cache of items so you could start a level with something was amazing.
And I would always save them.
Yeah.
Like, save them, like, I mean, the first four worlds, you don't need any of them. Maybe you'd use, like, a star to get by, like, a Hammer Brother, or, like, if you were little, you'd get by one of the big Hammer Brothers or something. And then even World 5, the only levels, I remember World 5 starting to get a little tricky when you were up in the sky, and there were those fucking flying fireball spitting cannonballs with the fire tails that would follow you around. Oh God. Like,
well,
I
even
hated
just making
them.
Some of the jumps too on those levels, like having the raccoon suit where you could just kind of like float down, or you know, not have to worry as much about making a jump.
Yeah. Like, that's where it started to come in handy. There's a level in 5 where you have to jump from the red beetles to the red beetles. That's fucking hard, man. Like, I find that hard now. As a kid, that was P-Wing shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, let's skip this one.
Let's skip this one. Let's see if we can get out of here. You know.
And then once you get into 6, where it's ice.
Oh, that ice level was crazy.
That's when shit starts to pick up. And you get into the second half of that map, like when it goes to the, like where the scream and slide over, and you get to the second half. I remember there being like a maze level in there that I would always get fucking lost in, but like that's where it got hard. And then if you got through World 6 and you went to World 7, the Pipe World.
With all the Hammer Brothers stuff. God. That's where you got the Hammer Brothers suit.
Yeah.
That was nuts. You start throwing hammers at everything. That was so much fun. Screw fireballs. I want to throw hammers.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it kind of sucked. Like, it was hard to aim. They didn't.
Oh, yeah. They just went up. Right?
It just looked cool.
It just looked cool.
And then by the time you got to World 8, like, that's where you had to save your power. Like, if you burned your power ups early, you're fucked. Oh, like, you're going to need them in those later worlds.
There's like the one part with like the bridge, and like, you go across, and it'd just be like a random level.
Or those hands would pop up and grab you. Oh, fuck.
Right, but you'd go on across, and there's all these spaces, and you'd be like, "No, you're gonna actually have to play this level."
Yeah,
you're like, "What's going on?"
And it was so random.
And it was never the same.
It was great, and that's where I was gonna go with that. Is like, because I was bad as a kid, you'd use the warp whistles.
Yeah,
and then I'd skip 5, 6, 7 for sure.
Oh, yeah,
and so I'd end up in Dark World, World 8, and which was fucking hard. And like, so now as an adult, whenever I do play Super Mario Brothers, I don't even collect the warp whistles because I'm like, In hindsight, it was kind of cool that they were in because you couldn't save your game back then. That's a long game. Like, to play that in one, like to play the original Super Mario Brothers in one sitting.
All eight worlds too?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing it.
No, like it's an afternoon.
I remember leaving my Nintendo on.
I was going to say the same thing.
Just like put something in front of it so my mom thought it was off, turn the TV down.
That's what you would do is you turn the TV off, put something in front of the Nintendo so it didn't look like it was on, and then like when you had to go for dinner or whatever and then go and
like,
do
your thing. I got to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And like in hindsight, it's probably terrible. But but yeah, because it was like, I'm not starting over. I put like 3 hours of work into this.
Yeah, man.
So it was a long game, man, but it was like
some of the hidden stuff too, like the ghost ship. You remember, like, I was just thinking about that on the way over. I was like, man, we used to try so hard to get those ghost ships because you had to get, like, depending on what worlds you were finishing, and it wasn't every time, it was like random.
Yeah,
you wanted to get, like, if you were in the first level of the world, you wanted to get 11 coins. It was with 11,
and that was the ship that would show up that was covered in coins.
Yeah,
okay. Because when you first said that, I was like, "No, I don't." But I do remember that. Yeah,
and they had one of those for every world.
Yeah, yeah.
And then trying to figure out, like, even like later on, how to keep getting them.
And like you mentioned earlier, dude, that there was alternate paths. It wasn't just level 1, level 2, level 3. Like, we'd never really seen anything like that before in a platform. Like, it's obviously like commonplace now.
Yeah,
but at that point, it was so cool to know that you could skip levels. Yeah, you're like, "Oh, this level's hard. I'll go around this one." And like the item houses and the games that you could play, and it, like, you could it just in World 3 you could use a hammer and then get in the canoe and float over to like the left two screens and get a ton of like item houses and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was just so big. Like, even by today's standards, it's not a small game.
No, not at all.
You know,
even like today's standards, man. That I'm so lucky you can save on the Wii.
Isn't that the truth, man? Yeah. Fuck me.
Hey, like, man, you can save now. Oh, sweet. I am doing that.
And I think that's where I was going to go with the warp whistles, is I do think maybe that was part of their design philosophy, was just like, we can't save. It's a long game.
It's a long game.
The whistles weren't hard to find. Like, they were in the...
There's the one where you had to know the trick, right? Like, you had to sit on the...
Duck on the white block.
Duck on the white block. And you could go behind everything.
Which was so cool, too.
It's like, well, you can do this? And then as soon as you figured it out, like, well, where can I go with this?
Yeah. But it was like, I remember that being like the first big, like, schoolyard game rumor. Like, that's one of the earliest memories of that. Is like, so we talked about that, like, Nintendo at school, Super Mario Brothers 3. And then that's what we were talking about, is how to get the warp whistle. I didn't know that third warp whistle existed forever. with the hammer in World 2 where you go to this. I had no idea. And then finally when my friends told me about it, and I didn't even believe them. And then I tried it and was like, oh my God.
What do you need three for?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
And then you do like the trick where you use two of them, right? And then you'd go, because if you're in World 2 and you use it, then you go to 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
You go to any of those, use the warp whistle, you go to 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what do I need the third one for?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, maybe. And you use it in 8, you just go right back to 8. You're like,
it's just cool to get it. It was, and then that's something else I wanted to talk about. And you mentioned this earlier, is the fucking power-ups, man.
Oh.
Because it was like, see that, like, I mean, the original Mario had the mushrooms and the power, or the flowers and the stars. And then in Mario 2, there really wasn't anything. There was just the stars, really. But then in Mario 3, it was like, because Nintendo now has had so many fucking crazy mushrooms. Like, you become a cat, you become a spring, a bee. There's all these fucking crazy things. But Mario 3 was the one where they were just like, yeah, let's fucking turn it up to 10.
Yeah. And because it wasn't. You could be a frog.
Yeah. So, like, because there was the mushroom and the flower, which were cool. The leaf, which is, like, for my money. Okay, so, well, I was going to say it's the best power-up ever. But I still think that the cape from Mario World.
It's the same thing.
It is, but the cape. But the cape, you can fly over a whole level. The raccoon leaf. Oh,
if you were really
dies.
Good at it, right? Yeah. You can do the bouncing.
The leaf dies.
Yeah.
Right. But like, so the leaf was fucking incredible. Like, to be able to fly, and that was one of the things that I found so cool about Super Mario Brothers 3 as well, was like the freedom.
Yeah.
Because when you would fly up, I mean, like, if you really went high up, or you use like the P wing, you go out of the screen. But like, almost every level had built above the level.
Yeah, like, hey, you know, you can fly up here.
Yeah, yeah.
You get some things.
So then you'd go back and start just flying up in every area just to see what you could find. You know what I mean? And if you found like a pipe or something, you were like, cool.
Exploring that game was just unreal.
Yeah,
especially as a kid. Like,
yeah, before the internet, when you couldn't look up where everything was.
Yeah.
Man, it was and then you'd find shit, so then you'd go to school the next day and be like, dude, like, go here, there's this.
Yeah, go to your friend's house, like warp to the level, like, hey, check this out, you can get this.
What a huge game. So there was the leaf, there was the frog suit, which I thought was awesome. I used to use it above ground all the time,
because
I thought he looked cool. And like, really looking back on it, it's pretty shitty item above ground.
It made it harder for some things.
It did. Oh yeah, so I have a thing about that. So like, we had a Game Genie when we were kids.
Okay.
And one of the codes you could put in, because the Game Genie came with this huge book of codes, right? And one of the codes you could get for Super Mario Bros. 3 was you could constantly keep a power. And it was like hammer suit, frog suit, leaf, whatever.
Yeah.
And no matter how many times you got hit, you'd never lose the item. And so I used the frog suit one time. And I was like, I'm going to play the whole game as the frog suit. And you hit a point, and I don't remember where it is. I want to say about World 5. Where you have to run and slide, like duck and slide under this brick, and you can't do that as the frog, and you can't lose the item with the Gagey. I remember being so mad, because I spent like 3 hours playing it. I was having a great time as Frog Mario, and then I couldn't get past, like, there was no way past this, and I was like, God damn it. But the frog suit, like, underwater
it was amazing.
The bee's knee. I almost felt like he was cheating. I mean, like, it was too easy, like, just up, down, left, right. It was so easy.
It reminds me, like, in other Mario games, when you could hold something, like in Super Mario World, where you could hold like the key or the POW, and you could run, and it just like always floated you.
It was, it was like having like a wakeboard or something, and you would just like glide around on it. That is kind of what the frog suit was, but it was cool. And I will say, as much as I thought it was cheating, there's a couple underwater levels. Like, there's one where you're steering through all those jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's pretty fucking hard without a frog suit, man. Yeah. Like, because it's moving on its own.
Doing the, like, little hop up and down.
Yeah.
Waiting, hopping up.
Oh, it's a tough. So that was cool. And then, like you said, the Hammer Brothers suit was pretty novelty. Like, it was it was fun. They only got 2 or 3 of them, too. Like, they weren't easy to find.
They were all, like, level 7.
Yeah, like, right near the end.
People who were, like, who had just warped never, ever used them.
Yeah.
They never knew about them.
Yeah, it's like, and honestly, the hammer was kind of used. Like, it was neat if you could aim it, it didn't aim very well.
There was, too, if you beat the game the first time and you started a new game, you would have an item, like, all your whole items list would just be power wings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then if you beat it again, then you get, like, a whole new set of things. So we used to, like, try and see, go as far as we could.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Fuck, game's been out for, like, 30 years, and I'm still learning things about that game. I didn't know that. So is there one where you get all hammer suits?
I assume. I don't remember getting
that
far.
Beat the game a dozen times, and you can have all hammer suits.
Have all hammer suits. Just, like, crush in the first level.
Yeah. And then it gets, fuck, I don't know. They were cool, though. He looked so cool in that suit,
Could you imagine fighting all the bosses? with like the hammer suits. Yeah, you could like throw.
I wonder how fast a hammer suit kills one of the Koopa kids.
Yeah, I wonder.
No, I'm sure someone listening to this is like, it's three hammers, you stupid fuck. But like, just like you were with our Pokemon episode, oh, you're like, don't do that, yo.
Whoa,
but, like,
man, I was.
I've been
when I, you guys were like, stones are useless. I was like, I hate you so much because they're so useful. Because you're like, because you'll be power leveling someone, and you'd be like, man, I gotta get this move. Because sometimes you can only get them if you leveled up one of the guys to a certain point,
right?
And there's lots of them are really good moves. So
right. I don't know. I'm sure almost every episode of this, someone has been listening and been like, no, because it's the game they know better than anybody. Super Mario Brothers 3, though, I didn't know that. So there was the Hammer Brothers suit. There was actually my favorite power up from Super Mario Brothers 3 is the Tanuki suit. Just because I think he looks so fucking cool in it. Because it looks like his giant onesie that he barely fits in.
Yeah.
Because he just looks so fat in it. And it was basically the raccoon suit. But then you could turn into that statue.
Oh, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Like, was really pretty useless most of the time. It was pretty hard to use.
Well, it was for, like, I want to say, like, ghosts and anything that, like, there were a couple levels where things would be coming at you all the time.
It had the odd moment.
So you'd be like, oh, man, I'm going to be stoned. I'm going to get hit with a bullet or... a bomb.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh,
cool. Now it's done. I'm gonna keep moving.
I just thought he looked like it. To me, that's the most out there power up. Like, I've read stuff where like they wanted to put a thing where he would turn into like a Minotaur and stuff in this game, and they just couldn't make it work. The Tanuki suit, like, I mean, you have to wonder what you're smoking to come up with any of the stuff that goes into a Mario game. But the Tanuki suit was just like, so what is it? Okay, well, basically, he's gonna wear a raccoon's fur. And it's going to look like he just pulled it over himself and it barely fits. But then if you hold down and hit the button, he will turn into a Buddha statue and then nothing can touch him. And they're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, let's do that. You know?
So,
But also, he can fly.
He can fly.
Just like if he had the raccoon tail.
I just thought he was a cooler looking version of the raccoon suit. Like, I love the Tanuki
suit. That was
a
hard thing to get as well.
What's that?
The Tanuki.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of those either.
No.
And then there was the P-Wings, which were basically just like...
cheat.
Yeah, they were basically
hey,
like,
skip a level.
Hey, you can't beat this level, use this. Because there was the cloud too.
Oh, yeah.
But the cloud fucking sucked, because if you skipped a level and then couldn't beat the next level,
then you had to go all the way back.
Yeah, you were like, God, no, now I'm out of cloud.
Well, it was kind of neat. We used to use it for things like, you know, to get an item. You're like, oh man, I can't beat this level. Or I could really use, I know there's, say, like a leaf behind an item box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, because if you beat the level, someone could come in and get it.
Right.
So you could go and get the leaf.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, like, be competitive and just skip ahead and get items and stuff.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, I don't want you to get the leaf or the frog suit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Because
something's coming up, so I'm going to go get it.
That's beautiful.
Then I have to come back and beat the level anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I never thought of that. Yeah, that's... because I just... when my brother and I would play, we'd make, like... we had to, like... I remember my mom like basically sitting us down and just being like, no, he gets this one, then you get this, because it was fight. And we're like, we should be working together, but no, fuck
no,
that.
No.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission: to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. Crash Plan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a crash plan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan.
I don't know. Kids are always so competitive. So
yeah,
especially siblings.
Oh, dude, it was the best. And then, like, actually, that's another thing Super Mario Brothers did. Three did right was in Super Mario Brothers 1, when you played 2-player, you played till you died.
Yeah.
And so, like, even as a kid, I could get well into like World 4 unless I fucked something up before I died. So my brother would wait. I'd play my turn, finally die. He'd get his turn, and then I would like reach over and like hit the button to like kill him so that I could play again. Because I'm like, I don't want to wait. Oh. Whereas with Super Mario Brothers 3, it was just back and forth. Infinitely better. It's like infinitely better system, yeah. You know? Because you could work together, like you said, the trading cards or that kind of shit, or you could totally fuck each other over, which I thought was
you
hilarious.
You could be either real competitive or very cooperative.
Yeah.
You could be either or.
Another thing that Mario Brothers 3 did that I fell in love with, that I love to this day, is it introduced the Koopa Kids. I love the Koopa, except Bowser Jr., who was not in that one. He's not around forever. Bowser Jr. fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But the 7 Koopa Kids are rad, and they all look awesome, and they all have awesome names. I loved them in that game. Like, I used to draw them all the time.
I absolutely loved every time you beat a castle that it always looked like Toad was sucking himself off.
Yeah, dude.
We used to do that all the time. Like, look, Toad. So, and as a kid, you were like, ew, gross. Now, as an adult, I'm like, fucking lucky Toad. that flexible.
I never thought of that, but you're right, though. He totally, like, the way he does, like, the head up and down. I'm acting it out for some fucking reason now. I loved it. I loved that it wasn't just like, fight Bowser.
And it was the first time you had, you know, a bunch of bosses who were essentially the same but did different things. Like, some of them had wands, some mm-hmm. of them jumped, some of them climbed walls. And,
yeah. You get near the end and, like, is it Lemmy or Lemmy? Which one's the little stupid looking one? He's my favorite one, the one with the goofy eyes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of biased, but he's my favorite one, and he's on the ball, and he shoots more balls, and, like, that gets hard. If you don't kill him fast, the screen fills up, and then you're fucked. So, I don't know. I love the idea of them. Like, there was Boom Boom. The easiest boss fight in the history of video games.
Oh, it's when they introduced the Big Bertha too, the giant fish that would eat you.
Oh, that fucking fish.
Come out of nowhere. Just, like,
the bane of my existence as a childhood was that fucking fish. I hated him so much.
You're like, oh man, this shouldn't be too hard. Some little fish jumping up. You can jump on them. This guy comes out and eats you. You're like, what the fuck
to this day, because, like, Mario's one of the few games that my girlfriend will play with me. Yeah. And to this day, when we play a game with that in it, like, when the level starts and it does that, like, bum, 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 and you see that you're on platforms that are going up and down in the water, and that fucking giant fish comes in, right away you're like, motherfucker, because that's, like, they're hard, man. Yeah. I hate that. If you fall into the water, you're done.
Yeah.
You fight and fight and fight, but you're done.
Yeah, watching your friends fall in the water and everyone's just like on their seat, like, what is he gonna die? And then
he,
like, pops up. You're like, what?
Yeah, it's the best. It's so good. So I used to, like, those were the levels I would, like, use stars and flowers on.
And that was one of those things too. Like, you'd be like, oh man, I have this star. I'm totally gonna kill her. And you do, and you're like, oh, that's so awesome. Your star runs out back. Like, oh no.
Yeah, like 15 seconds and then he's back. Like,
what is going on here?
I hate those fish.
The sun from the.
Oh. Is there a more fucking hated villain than Mario video games and that fucking sun?
Oh.
And the worst part was, like, in World 2, he was hard and he sucked. But then in World 8, when it's complete night, there's a part where you have to deal with him again. And it's so much harder. And, like, when you kill him, because you can kill him, like, with a shell, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the best feeling in the history of the planet. Like, I would die on, like, trying to kill him instead of just going. Oh, I forgot all about the sun. I hate the sun.
They were like, those quicksand levels, there were a few where, like, it was one of those things where you're like, oh no, I didn't make the jump. And you'd, like, fall down. You're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Like, there's a secret area. So, like, you spend a ton of time just jumping in quicksand. You're like, nope, died again.
Died again. That's how you found stuff, though.
Yeah.
It was, what a, like, I know a lot of people debate what's the, like, what is the best 2D Mario. Is it Mario Brothers 3 or is it Super Mario World? And I'm like, there's only one answer, Super Mario World. And if you don't think Super Mario World is the best, are you...
I'm going to have to agree.
Okay. Having said that.
It just did Super Mario Brothers 3 so much better.
So it did. Is it just like Super Mario Brothers 3 took the original Super Mario Brothers and pumped it full of steroids? And then Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario World pumped Super Mario Brothers 3 full of steroids?
I don't really think that it did. It just kind of refined what worked and didn't work.
Everything.
So, I mean, you got rid of a bunch of the power-ups. You introduced, you know, Yoshi, which kind of was, you know, was an interesting power-up to play with. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of the things that you could do in Super Mario Brothers 3 that just got taken out, and they didn't replace them with a bunch of things. They only put in, like, a couple new things, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The balloon where you float around, and the different kinds of Yoshis.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are essentially just things your guy could do anyways, except for the yellow one, which could pound sand.
Yeah, like the dude of pound sand. But that's all it was. You're right. It took Super Mario Brothers 3 and it was like, what worked, what didn't. Let's take the stuff that worked and shine it up and add to it. You know what I mean? Like, but without Super Mario Brothers 3, like if, I mean, it's impossible to say, but like if Super Mario Brothers 3 had just been another Super Mario Brothers, like if they had just done that same thing, but just with more levels maybe or something, like, who knows what would have happened, you know, like it was that game, like, I don't know maybe I'll try to find the audio and I'll put it into the beginning of this podcast. But do you remember there was like a commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3 where they like made Mario's face like on the planet? They had all these different people like in Mario outfits, like dressed up, and they made like Mario's face.
No.
Yeah. And then they were like Super Mario Brothers 3. Like they hyped that game to the end of time.
It honestly was, it's probably the best game that came out on the Nintendo.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's the absolute ace of the Nintendo rotation. It's like, I don't feel for the most part, the NES library has stood the test of time that well. There was a ton of junk on it.
There was a ton of junk.
Even the good games, like to me, when you look at some of the best games on the NES, I think of like The Legend of Zelda. I think of like the original Metroid, Castlevania's, the Ninja Gaiden's.
I played a lot of Castlevania back in the day. I don't remember anything about it.
No, but like I've played some of them again on my NES Classic, and they're fun to play.
Yeah.
But like the Super Nintendo versions of almost all of them are the definitive and better versions. You know what I mean? They had more to work with. They did better.
Yeah.
The
very first Final Fantasy.
The first Final Fantasy.
One of the first games you could actually save on.
Yep, that's right. Same as Zelda.
Yeah.
Being able to save on Zelda. Like, it would have been impossible without
it. No, there's no way you could play Final Fantasy without saving.
But when I look at the original Nintendo, I'm like, Super Mario Brothers 3 has absolutely stood the test of time. It's the absolute ace of the road. Like, for my money, Mario Brothers, like, I would say all three of the Mario Brothers games from the NES stood up pretty well. Mario Brothers 3 is the best one, but they all stood up. I think Punch-Out stood up.
Punch-Out,
the Mega Man games.
I personally am a big fan of Micro Machines. I don't know if you ever played
I played Micro Machines. That was a good game.
That was a hard game to beat. It was. Because you had to start with, like, that was one of those ones where you pick a good character, and then you had to race against all the good characters at first, and as they slowly dropped out, you had to replace them with slightly better characters until you're only fighting. Because no matter what happened, the levels got harder, but also the computers got harder.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So eventually you're fighting, like, racing the three worst guys.
yeah.
Trying to make it through.
It was, like, there were some good games on it. There was a lot of garbage. Just not a lot of games that stood up. And, like, I think it's funny because I don't know if there's another console in... I don't know if there's another console, period, that you can look at and almost universally agree on what the best game in that console's library is. You know what I mean? Like, I guess maybe you could say... No, I was going to say maybe people would say the Pokemon games on Game Boy. But if you're not an RPG person, you don't like Pokemon, then it's... You know, I just think that, like, to me, there's no argument. Like, I bet you if you asked 100 people, 90 plus would say the best game on the NES is Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Like, well, they have to.
That game, and I'll repeat this for our next podcast, that game single-handedly destroyed the launch of the Sega Genesis.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It was that good.
It stopped the launch of a new game system with better graphics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good this game
is. It was fantastic. Okay, we'll wrap this one up and get into our other one. What would you give Mario Brothers 3 out of 10?
Now or before? I would say now. I would say, like, 8.75. Yeah. I'll still play that game.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9. It's a good. It's a fucking. It's still better than. Like I'm a like platforming is my favorite genre, yeah. And it's still better than a ton of platformers that come out today.
I think it's better than the Super Mario Brothers Wii, even though you could have four people.
I could live with that. Yeah, yeah. The jumping on each other, Super Mario Bros or whatever. Yeah,
when you jumped on each other. That's...
As far as 2D Mario's go,
yeah,
it's
definitely
it's still number two right behind Super Mario World, but they're 1A and 1B.
Paper Mario. It's been forever since I played Paper Mario.
Is pretty good. But as far as just like the regular platformers go,
oh yeah,
it'd be the like they're it's untouchable. It's so good. It still looks good to this day. Like it's perfect. Go play it. Everyone that's listening to this has played it. If there's one game in all of the episodes of this show we're gonna do that I'm like, I'm sure everyone has played it, it's Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go play it again.
Yeah, play it.
Go play it again because it's fun.
I might do it when I get home. We'll see.
I'm actually jonesing to play it now too because it's perfect. Beautiful. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
And that is going to do it for episode 16 of Remember the Game, you guys. Miklos, thank you so much for coming over. To all of you, thank you so much for listening. One more time, sincerely, thank you. If you enjoy it, please tell a friend. Let's share. Leave us a good review. I don't know what those accomplish, but all the good podcasts ask for them, so I'm going to do that too. And social media us up. Find us on Twitter at Member the Game. Find us on Facebook at Member the Game. We'll follow you back. We'll talk to you. Come talk video games with us. If you want to be on the show, shoot me a message. That's it, you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back with you again in 7 days to geek out some more. All right, I'm gonna go play some Super Mario Brothers. Fuck, that's such a good game. I'm gonna go play Super Mario Brothers 3. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Talk to you later. Cheers.